Good Day South Dakota, coming up on In the Moment Tech Radio. We'll chat with our panel of tech experts about the news of the day, from the latest in Apple news to TV on the Facebook and fun with fonts. We've got it all. Plus your calls, texts, emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to inthemoment@sdpb.org, or you can send a tweet off to me at KentSDPB. Join the discussion at Facebook at facebook.com/techradio, or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guests today. We have Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite on deck, Lemon Lee's John T. Meyer. From Exigent, we have Amos Aesop, and from the Bureau and Peer, Jeff Litterick. That email address again, inthemoment@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB. And welcome to the September 1st edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer your questions. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, we have Mac guru Joel Brovelite. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how are you doing?
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
As Exigent Chief Security Officer Amos Aesop is with you as well. Hey, Amos, welcome back.
Hi, Kent. Thank you.
How's business been?
Good. Good, good, good.
I imagine in security it never ends.
It never stops. Yep. It
never stops. From the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications and Peer, Jeff Litterick joins us. Hello, Jeffrey. Good to have you on board. We'll get you off mute and on the show. And also on the phone, we have John T. Meyer from Lemonly. Hi, John.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing today?
I am well, sir. What's the latest at Lemonly?
The latest at Lemonly? Well, yeah. This is our last Friday. We do a thing called Summer Hours, which just means from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we just close the office a couple hours early on Friday. So people do a 6-hour day instead of an 8-hour day. It's kind of a look forward to the summer thing. And actually, we measure it and get the same amount of work done as we do throughout the year. So I think the team, it's a little bittersweet. The team gets to kick their weekend off a little early.
Uh-huh.
So next week, we're back to regular schedule. So it kind of aligns with going back to school and the seasons changing. So I'm just kind of shocked that summer's almost done.
It's crazy, isn't it? And I've got just a quick question, and maybe Amos or Jeff or even you, John. Have you noticed in the last week you go to some different websites and you get little notices about there being like extended maintenance periods over the weekend? Is it something to do with Labor Day weekend, or do tech companies expect less folks on the net this weekend, so they're going to do more maintenance? Just going to throw that out there.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there's really ever a time where you can expect any sort of meaningful dip in web traffic. People who might not be at work using it for business purposes, certainly in their day-to-day lives, are using it on their phones, are using it at home. I don't think you can really plan around that. At any time, whether it's a holiday or a weekend or overnight. I have not run into any of the extended maintenances that you've seen.
I was going to say, yeah, so none of you folks have seen those little messages from different, four or five different websites we're seeing.
The only thing I could think of, and I really haven't seen this, in fact, I've seen a lot of sales, is there are some certificate things happening in the background. And what we mean by certificates, if you go to a site that's encrypted with SSL, like a shopping site, you see the HTTPS, there's these things called certificates in the back end that make that work. And there's some changes, and some certificates are going to be revoked here. So there may be people that are reapplying certificates or updating the certificates on their websites. It does have to be done periodically. Otherwise, they expire. So because of these changes going on, they just may be viewing it as the best weekend to get it done before these big changes come a little bit later this fall.
Well, we were just kind of speculating around the office why that might be. But we'll talk a little bit about this later when there's going to be a soft launch of some new products with Facebook over the weekend, too. And just, again, just speculating that, hey, that would be a good time to do that with a few less people on because they're out, I don't know, barbecuing or hiking or doing whatever. But I don't know. It's something to keep in mind. Anyway, back to the back to the real business of the show. We want folks in the audience, if you've got questions, we'd like to help provide those answers. If you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/techradio is where you can post your comments or questions. Don't be shy. Our phone number is 800-524-3604. Twitter users can send questions to myself, Kent SDPB, at Kent SDPB, or of course the email address in the moment at sdpb.org is pretty darn popular as well. John, have you been following, or I guess anybody, the latest from Facebook about what they're planning on doing with expanding their video or television, what we would consider traditional television offerings? I guess betaing, sort of soft launching this weekend. Have you been catching any of that?
Yeah, so essentially what's happening, to update everybody, about yesterday, you may have seen in your Facebook mobile app, and I think it'll be coming on the web version as well, a little TV-looking button with like a play button, which is their new product called Watch. And essentially this is a part of the arms race of video content that we're seeing all across tech as people continue to cut the cord, as we've talked about on the show, and content continues to become, just so prevalent where most folks don't even really notice when they're cutting the cord. And so, Netflix and Amazon competing with Hollywood studios, and now tech companies like Facebook wanting to get into the content business like YouTube. And essentially what Facebook is trying to do is they just want you to spend more time on the platform, right? They want to get you in the ecosystem and keep you there, whether you're watching videos or whether you're updating your status or looking at photos. And so, yeah, you're going to see, if you haven't yet, but you will this weekend, this tab called Watch. And essentially they have exclusive, Facebook-exclusive content, so content you can only find on Facebook, as well as kind of general produced content. And I'm not sure yet if it's open to all content producers or only, like, partners. Facebook's going to be getting in the game of producing original content. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Right. I thought they announced maybe it was like 30 to 40 partners to begin with, but also going out and producing their own. And they're talking about doing some spotlight shows, between 4 and 10 minutes long, $10,000 to $40,000 per episode for these types of shows. You got to imagine business may be good for content producers. They're also talking about rolling out some larger, bigger budget type shows, and they're reportedly willing to pay as much as $3 million per episode for those. So that's a pretty good big production budget as things go. I think a Game of Thrones episode is, what, $10 million? Which is,
I was going to say, I think 10 to 40K for those little web episodes is like, pocket change. That's just a little throwaway. Let's see if it works. But you're definitely seeing, productions like Game of Thrones on HBO or House of Cards on Netflix. They're really expensive. And now even Apple, I think, said, Apple, Joel, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were committing $100 million to creating content, and that was considered very small.
I think it was even more than that.
Yeah, I think it was more than that.
Billion, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was a billion. Yeah.
Maybe missed a few zeros there. But yeah, I think it was a billion, whereas I think Netflix
it's a billion.
Amazon's like $3 billion, and I think Netflix is $4 billion in terms of.
Are they gonna run out of writers or
there's never a dearth of writers in Hollywood, I can tell you that.
I was gonna say it sounds like we're getting into the next golden age for entertainment. Or I've seen, there seems to be essentially a lot of shows that are, I've looked at the titles of some of these, and some of them are more how-to type things and explaining little things in living life and things like that. But as far as the entertainment industry goes, there's going to be a lot more of that too. And
well,
like you say,
and just right, there's never a dearth of writers in Hollywood, but sometimes there is a shortage of good stories. And so earlier this month, I don't think we talked about it on the show, but Netflix made their first ever really acquisition, and they bought indie comic book, Jeff, maybe you know it better, but Miller World, is that how you say it?
For most people, if you've ever seen the movie Sin City or 300. Those are actually based off comics. His studio that comes from Frank Miller, so that's his kind of style. So he's done some movie work already. So,
but, yeah, and so just like Disney buying Marvel, they now have access to the stories, which are probably even more more valuable because they can become shows.
You think that folks are going to take to this? This you said this is sort of this ecosystem that Facebook is making, so you just never leave the platform. So we've seen that, I guess. YouTube updated themselves in August and added the ability while you're watching things on their platform, you can send tweets and messages and things, so you can just do more than just watch. And now Facebook's going to keep you in their ecosystem. Is that the way you like to be entertained, or are you just want to put something on Apple TV or Netflix and just watch it for an hour or so, or 2 hours if it's a movie? Are people going to buy into that?
You know, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, that entertainment now, with everybody doing this, like you said, with Yahoo and Twitter and Facebook, it's becoming so fragmented, and each of them is producing some pretty legitimate content, and so there's reasons to go to each platform in order to watch particular show or series or whatever. But it's you know, now you've got to remember, where is that show at, what platform is it on, what application do I need, and there's no you know, right now, central way of being able to aggregate that information together. So I wouldn't be surprised if soon there's a service that does that provides that you know, one location to go, and you can pick out the show you want to watch, and it pulls it from that platform in some method, which really is just that full circle right back to, you know, a cable box.
You know, yeah, what does that for me is my TiVo. And I've got the over-the-air TiVo. You plug an antenna into it, and you also plug internet into it. And if you search for a show and it's not available for something I've recorded off the air, or even if it is, it'll give me the other episodes available to whatever I'm subscribed to. So if it comes off Amazon Prime, it'll suggest it from there, or Netflix, or wherever. So that's maybe the baby step in what you're talking about. But it's complicated, especially if some of the shows get a little older, and as rights and contracts expire with certain media groups, and that product moves over to another media group, then you've got to go. Then you're looking in another completely other place. So it's it.
I think one thing we know is we want to be able to bring our content with us, right, like on our mobile device. And I think you're seeing that affect technology across all types of entertainment. I mean, Nintendo with their new Switch device console, you can both plug it into the TV and play like a at-home console, or you can pick it up and take it with you like a handheld device. And so, whether it be streaming, Netflix, Amazon, HBO, or even content on our native phone, and then, like you said, throwing it up on the TV with a, a Roku or an Apple TV, whatever it may be, I think that's the biggest trend, is allowing it to be so mobile and portable.
I've seen folks around town now that there's the connection with AT&T and DirecTV. And the unlimited plans, you can go and I don't know if this is exactly how it works, but they can watch television off of their, you know, their home system, or you know, or gain access to the same channels they have at home and watch them on their mobile device. Is that picking up? Are people doing that? Or is this a service that's kind of people are lukewarm to? Do you get the sense?
Describe that again. What does it allow you to do?
They can watch television, and in fact, things that they've recorded on their DirecTV box at home.
That's a cable subscriber, like through Vizio or something.
Yep.
Or?
Yeah, they're through DirecTV. Okay. So anything that they record on their DirecTV receiver at home, they can watch. Well, unlimited data on their cell plan, I haven't seen lots of people doing it, but I've seen some some doing it. I was just kind of wondering if AT&T or anyone's gaining any market share for being able to enable that kind of system. And I think Sling, you know, Sling's had that and over the years, and there's been a few other people that have had capabilities of it, but I haven't seen anybody really take off and become the leader in it, I guess. Maybe that's coming up down the road, John. As you mentioned, people want more and more on their mobile devices.
Yeah, I think that's a territory everyone's jockeying to be a part of, because ultimately, at the end of the day, they're looking for eyeballs, right? They're looking for attention, because then whether it be through subscription or advertising, they can make money.
Right. Well, which underscores the reason why the whole net neutrality thing is probably huge right now, and we're going to talk about that just briefly after this quick break. You're in the moment on SDPB Radio. We are talking tech with the computer guys. If you have questions or comments about the tech in your life, we'd love to hear from you. Send your questions by emailing inthemoment@sdpb.org, or you can send us a text message on that mobile device we were just talking about, 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. If you'd like to shoot us a text, we would love to take your comments and your questions today. Joel, I have a Tim Cook quote for you, and then I want your reaction about that in the news this week. In a shareholder meeting earlier this year, he said, "We stay out of politics, but stay in policy. If net neutrality becomes a top thing, we will definitely engage in it." So Apple, up until this week, did they not think net neutrality was a big thing?
I think what he's getting at there is, they definitely think it's a big thing. What they don't want to do is lay a heavy hand on what side they come down on. If you look into, you know, anything that Tim Cook has said about net neutrality, there, Apple's very for net neutrality. But what they don't do is they're not big into boycotts. They're not big into, leaning heavily on one thing or another. You know, they're not big on rocking the boat. However, when pushed, they will put their foot down, and I assume that they do the same thing on net neutrality. You saw that back when they would not write software to crack that iPhone back, I think it was a couple of years ago. So when push comes to shove, Apple, and particularly Tim Cook, I think will stand up for kind of Apple's ethos. But, they usually try to do it on the DL, and I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, and just to remind folks, what's at stake for Apple in this is now they're selling more than iPads and iPhones and hardware. They're getting into the media delivery service sort of that we were just talking about in the last part of the show. They're spending, we mentioned, $1 billion to produce more content, and if companies like AT&T and Verizon can hobble their streams while boosting their own, it could be an issue.
Well, and that can affect hardware, too. Say, for instance, because there's nothing stopping a company that had the ability to push slower data to iOS devices rather than Android devices or vice versa. So, networks can tell what computer or what device is on their network. So software is software, and it doesn't matter whether that's running on a computer or a handheld, that software is going to tell the network what device it is. So it isn't just content that can be affected by this.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of companies that, whether it was 11th hour or not, are happy that Apple got in on the commenting of the current proceedings. So I'm sure they're a welcome welcome addition to the crew on speaking up for net neutrality. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What other Apple news we have? We have some speaking of hardware. Do we have some phone news? Is there a definite launch date set?
Well, they've been inviting press to an event on September 12th, which is just a couple weeks away. So, dollars to donuts. That's going to be an iPhone announcement. It's just about the right time. That's what the rumor mill is saying. There's already been lots of quote unquote leaks. It's hard to tell what's true and what's not true.
What's your favorite?
Searching the internet. What's my favorite?
Yeah.
Leak?
If it were true, if all the leaks were true, what's the biggest deal?
The home button being gone, basically.
What?
So, what?
Okay.
That's a pretty crucial thing for the development of, I think, devices in general. And you can, their last iteration of the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus, almost does away with the home button to everybody except for the users. Basically, the home button on the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus is a software button. It doesn't actually have any tactile hardware in it. So when you press it down, it doesn't physically go down. It just senses you pressing it. So that was kind of their shoehorn into making sure it would work. And I think it worked very well. So I think it's a good bet there's not going to be a home button. And for those of you that wonder, what am I talking about? The button on your phone, whether it's an iPhone or not, that takes you back to the main screen, that's the button we're talking about, the physical button that is on your device that takes you back to whatever the home screen is. Doesn't matter whether it's an iPhone or not. Apple's going to make that a software-driven button. And they're not the only one that does this. I believe the Google... the new Google phone, I forget what that's called, Pixel?
Pixel is
yeah,
Google
that,
phone.
That has a software home button. So they're not the first to do it, but, Apple usually when they do something like a big redesign, like getting rid of a button, it usually works pretty well. So that's kind of what I'm expecting and hoping. And the advantage is you have edge-to-edge screen. You don't have any black space on the top or bottom you have to deal with. So not so crazy.
Yeah, makes sense.
I've also heard, what do you think on likelihood of wireless charger? Like, so you wouldn't even plug in, we moved to lightning cable and now you essentially like lay it on a, similar to like an Apple Watch, you'd lay it on a charger?
They've been doing that with the Apple Watch pretty successfully. So if I had to bet money on it, I don't know that they do that this go round. But if they do, it'll work well. Wireless charging has been kind of hit or miss throughout the industry. Some of the first devices that do a good job are the wearables, like the watches, not just Apple's watch, but other watches that have. When we're talking about wireless charging, we don't mean like you can have it anywhere and it will charge anywhere. We mean you set it on something. The charger is a physical object you set it on. You just don't have to fumble around for a cable. If you've ever been in bed, and you have if you have a phone, and been trying to plug it in and you're half asleep and you forget and your phone's dead in the morning, and then your wife says, no, I'm going to take the extra battery, and then you have to, you're tethered to a cable. This has never happened to me. I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to happen at some point. I don't know if they're going to do it this early. I mean, they're going to change enough about the phone that seems risky, but if they do it, it'll probably work really well.
They should just go
I'm
for it.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, they should just go for it. The Samsung.
It's also one way. It's also another way to make the device even more waterproof than it is. You're just getting rid of, the largest point of entry in the device. So that's just all good,
would,
no bad.
Would they get rid of that if there was? That's not just for charging. I mean, it's got other features too.
Of course.
I don't have one, but. Mm-hmm. Would they get rid of it, or would it be just an addition to, like my phone has the wireless charging but still has the
Apple
port?
Get rid of it.
Probably, like the headphones.
Apple has no problem getting rid of stuff. And honestly, they should. I mean, if you're going to not use the port to charge with, I don't know why you need it. I mean, honestly, I'm a pretty, techie guy. I can't remember the last time I plugged my phone into my computer. For any purpose. There's no real reason to. It makes the phone safer. So I guess I'm kind of talking to myself. John, you're right. I think they're going to get rid of it's going to be wireless charging. I like it already.
When we say wireless, is it still like I have a watch and the little watch sphere or circle is plugged into USB. And so I still have to have an outlet.
Right.
Could I charge the wireless we'll say pad or whatever, to the wall, unplug it, and then bring it with me and charge, like in the car or something like that? Or does it still have to
I assume it would be exactly I have no internal knowledge of how this is going to work, but I assume if Apple's going to do it, it's going to be exactly like the Apple Watch, because they've already gotten it to work. They know it works. So basically, instead of having a lightning cable that plugs into your little USB block that goes into the wall, it's going to be, you know, probably not the exact same thing that the Apple Watch has, a little round disc with a divot in it. It probably won't be that, but it'll be something that you can then, of course, take and charge however you want. I mean, doing it any other way would be kind of odd. So to charge it, you'd still have to have a cable. It'd still have to be plugged in, but you wouldn't have to fumble for a cable. Another reason to get rid of a cable is it's also the number one way to break the motherboard on your phone, is to have a cable in there, whether it's a headphone jack or whether it's a lightning cable. You know, it falls or something drops on it, that's how those motherboards break. So that's another good reason to get rid of it. But yeah, it will still be a cable. And it'll still have to be plugged in.
And as far as in the vehicles, I happen to see just this past week that I think they've been doing it for a while, but GM is putting wireless chargers in their center consoles. So you just set your phone on the center console, and if it's on the right spec, like this, you know, Samsung, I don't know what Apple will be, but if it's a QI type inductive charging, then it will charge there. So you wouldn't technically need a cable in your vehicle, but you got to get the right vehicle
Amos is right, you know, depending on what spec they go with.
Right.
If it's Apple, what they'll probably do is come up with their own and make everybody else adopt it.
Yeah.
It just
of course.
Seems like what they'd do.
And it'll probably be prettier.
Yeah, it'll definitely be shiny and pretty. Yeah.
Rose color.
And expensive.
I would hope that they would follow the same spec. The wireless charging has worked for three generations now on the Samsung platform. I think the 6s and the 7s and the 8s, I think, all do that. Inductive charging, or I've heard it called like static charging. Is that too weird of a term, or is that not accurate? But I've got a phone holder for my car. It clamps into the cold air return or the cold air duct, and then you just set your phone in and it just starts charging. That works really well. It doesn't work fast. You're not going to get nearly as fast of a charge. That's the one thing about that way of charging phones. When you say, yeah, set it down next to your bed at night, that's ideal because it's going to be there for several hours. It doesn't need to charge fast.
Although with the watch, that's another reason why they might not go with the same spec, because the Apple Watch charges just as fast or faster than my phone. Now, of course, smaller battery, smaller device, but they charge very fast on that charger. So, you know, I'm not an expert at what spec they're using on that, but I suspect it'll be more like that, because Apple would not really be hip on, you know, getting rid of the port on the device and then making you have to charge it for twice as long. That's just not going to happen. If they have to do that, they won't get rid of it. They won't do it.
I did pre-order the Note 8.
I was going
to
ask about that.
The successor to the exploding phone. So I'm hoping that the explosions are bigger and better and faster. And when you pre-ordered that, there was the ability to get with it what they call a fast charger. So I think the technology is coming along a little better to make that battery charge wirelessly a little faster.
What kind of specs are they saying on the Note 8? Is there a giant battery in there, or it looks
actually
beautiful? I've seen photos.
Yep, people are a little concerned that the battery isn't getting any bigger. That it's, you know, people are saying, I would be okay with an extra quarter millimeter in depth if you just give me a phone that lasted all day long. But in this case, it's not there. I don't know the technical reason. I'm sure there's a technical reason for why they didn't do that, but
because they don't want it to blow up again.
That'd be my
guess.
You know, the screen being physically larger. This one also doesn't have a home button. You know, they're moving to the software. They took the fingerprint scanner and put it on the back now. It has two cameras now, one for distance and one for for close up that then you can actually use together in tandem to create what they're calling a bokeh effect, which for me is just aperture size, really, right? I mean, you're taking the background and blurring it and having the foreground be in focus. Faster processor, storage space is still, I think, at 64 gigs, so we're not talking anything out of this world. But the big claim to fame on this one is A, that's the screen size, and B, that it's got the pen, and there's some new features that are coming along with that S Pen. Also, water resistant. The pen actually takes up, slides in a dock, in a hole, the entire length of the pen, and somehow they were still able to get it to rate it. What is it, IP68 or something, or 67 for water and dust proofness? In theory, you should be able to splash the phone without any problems. I'm not gonna intentionally try that out.
No. Does the pen excite you, Amos? Like, it sounds like a goofy gimmick.
I had the pen on the exploding phone, and I only had it for a little while, so I really didn't get to that point where it was something of interest to me. I have other friends who have had the older notes, the 4s and the 5s, who said once they got used to it, they really like some of the things you can do. I don't know yet. I don't know if it's going to be for me, but it's a lot like I was telling somebody yesterday, those split keyboards, I hated it for the first 2 weeks, and now I won't live without it. So it's just getting used to the ergonomics and what you can do and how it might be better. I'm sure it's not for everyone, and I'm not sure it's for me yet, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Split keyboard, you're not talking about on the phone, you're talking about on the desktop, right?
On the desktop,
with what's typically called ergonomic.
Right.
Looks like you've broken it in half and shoved it in a V.
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, so when you had access to a larger phone, so phablet, were you using the features more like you would like a smaller Android tablet or iPad? Is that the reason you want the phone to be a part of that, so you just have one device? Or did you enjoy consuming media? What was your main thing about this phone, or was there more than one thing?
Well, I actually utilize the running two apps at one time functionality, where you can have, a media player and Google Maps open at the same time, so that you can see what's playing and change that. Plus, you can have the maps, and I mount that in my vehicle for navigation. I utilize that feature, so the larger the screen, obviously, the more I can see of both those applications. Airplane rides, watching movies, the bigger the screen, the better the experience. Otherwise, it's, I can't think of anything else that I would use that would specifically say I have to have a bigger screen for this, other than it's just nice to be able to see more stuff, more screen real estate.
And the fact that the phone comes along with it and its data plan is a pretty big plus. You don't have to, sync something to something else and, to get it to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been told that the form factor itself, it feels solid. It's a little better. It's a little easier to hold on to because of its size. We'll see.
Okay.
I should have it by our next show, so I'll be able to tell you if it's great or terrible. It is actually very expensive, I noticed. So now we are at the point. Remember when phones used to be free?
Yeah, theory, on contract.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Not free, but free.
Right. Yeah, they were just rolled into your plan. But now my plan A doesn't seem to be getting any cheaper, even though I'm not paying for the phone in it. And B, we are now at the point where phones are $1,000, and I didn't pay that because I was a Note 7 person, exploding phone person, and you got a significant discount for that because they felt bad, I guess. But for anybody else who's going out and buying that phone directly, you're going to spend $980 for the phone. Now the chargers are USB-C, and so instead of the USB micros, I bought the fast charger. That phone doesn't work with any of the VR helmets or goggles anymore, so you're going to have to buy new ones of those if that's of interest to you. It's getting expensive to upgrade phones, and I didn't think we'd see a $1,000 phone, but we'll probably see two here soon, I suppose. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you figure the new one will be $1,000?
Well, rumor has it they're actually going to have three of the top models, and you know, the rumor has it that the top end is going to be called the iPhone Edition. So yes, I think we probably will see a $1,000 iPhone. You know, I mean, people get mad about that. I've seen so many like phones are $1,000 now. Well, name something you use more.
Right.
Like anything.
If I had to pay a quarter every time I use my phone, it would be paid off in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, they're cheaper than laptops and you use it way more than your laptop.
Yep.
So, you know, quit whining. Everyone.
Well, when you said two, I didn't know you meant two phones. I thought you meant a $2,000 phone. I mean,
yeah, that's we'll what I was that. Referring
we'll,
to.
We'll see that someday too, because yeah, Joel's right. You use so much. I was at a conference. They say that you. There was a lady from Facebook, and she said, from the data they have, they say that people touch their phones 3,000 times a day. So as far as tapping, like, you know, that can be every scroll, every tap, every touch.
I'm always in contact with my phone. I try to keep it next to my skin as much as possible.
There are things I forget when I leave home, one of which is never my
phone.
Never
your phone, that's right.
I never forget my sunglasses. I forget my keys to the office. I forget laptop. I forget a lot of things, but I never forget my phone.
If we had time, we'd run out. I have a fantastic forget my phone story sometime. We'll have to.
Well, we do have to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to have a potpourri of things, so that can definitely be one of them. I just want to ask, though, before we go to break, Joel and, well, anyone on besides Amos, because you're going to get the Note 8. Is anybody definitely going to get the
yes.
newest iPhone? You are. So are you going to get are yes. there going to be two versions as well? The smaller and the larger?
I think there's going to be at least two.
Okay. And will you be getting the larger?
Yes.
This side? Okay. So we'll be able to, on this show, compare in person Amos's giant phone with yours, and we can, see fit and finish and see how smoothly it runs and get a comparison from the two of you.
Yeah, and we'll be no clearer afterwards. What's better?
The one thing I know you have an iPhone. I know
John
has an iPhone, and I know Kent has both.
Both.
What does Jeff have?
Android.
Yep, Android.
Okay.
He's got an Android, yeah.
So we're evenly divided.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I get the latest
unless,
Oreo
unless we
on
count
your,
engineers, and then iPhone. Then iPhone wins.
Jeff, the biggest thing on the latest Oreo update with Android is the emoji packs. Did you get excited about that? I can't imagine.
No, not really. I'll be getting into here probably sooner or later. I mean, it's going to, you know, like most Android updates, take a while to roll out and stuff. And I think they look better, but it's not like earth-shattering. I, you know, have to drop everything or buy a phone with it already on. So, and actually, I have both Android and for work, I actually have a Windows 10 phone, too. So we do have one Windows phone in the group.
Oh, my. Before we get into that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up, a little potpourri segment, and get you off on your Septembers, everybody. We're back in the moment on SDPB Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions by emailing them to inthemoment@sdpb.org or a quick text, 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. Well, I alluded to the officially it's called Oreo, the latest version of Android update. It seems to be there's a few things, a few overhauls, but I think probably what's getting the younger folks more excited is the emoji are going from these blob looking little pieces of candy things to more of a style that's equivalent to other platforms like iOS. Probably not a big deal for most of us, or maybe many in our listening audience, a few ripples here and there. Anything else you've heard, Amos, about the latest Oreo update, or Jeff, and any excitement in that? No, I didn't think so.
I'm not yet. I've been a little bit disappointed in the the transitions between new Android operating systems. They there just hasn't been significant leaps forward that would make me say, wow, I absolutely have to have Oreo, or, you know, whatever particular one happened to be coming out at that point. There's some UI fixes and tweaks, and things might be a little bit shinier, and I've never been one to say, wow, I got this, it's awesome, you have to go out and make sure you get the new upgraded OS too. It seems to be pretty incremental.
And many of the upgrades are, you know, kind of back-end engineering stuff, which is nice, but really it takes sometimes new hardware to take advantage of that. And you kind of saw that with 7.0 on the existing phones. I mean, it was okay, but some of the phones came out and actually got a little bit a bigger performance upgrades and stuff because they had new hardware that was designed for. So it's kind of those things. It probably, you know, in another year with all the phones out, it'll be much more well accepted, but it's just not, you know, very exciting at this point. So.
Joel, give us that exciting phone anecdote you have.
Boy, I'll a phone hack. Is that what you said?
Oh, sure. I thought you had an anecdote.
Anecdote. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll try to make it quick. So I was in the checkout line listening to my AirPods. For those of you who don't know, they're just the wireless earbuds by Apple. And I was listening to Public
Radio. I love them. I love my AirPods.
I know, they're fantastic. I was listening to Public Radio because that's what I do. And I was getting ready to check out. And if you know me, my phone is also in my wallet. So it's like all in one thing, easily to lose. So I lose everything, credit cards. So I, just like Amos said, I always have that with me. Always. I never lose it. And I'm listening to the radio, so I never think about, like, okay, well, it must be somewhere else. I've lost it because I'm listening to the radio, and it's streaming. I go to the checkout. She puts all my stuff in there. I reach for my wallet. It's gone. I can't find it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I look down at my watch. It's still around somewhere. And I'm like, oh, and I'm listening to it, so it's got to be here somewhere. So I spend, like, 5 minutes looking around for the phone. I'm trying to ping it. It's nowhere. I go to the back of the place. All of a sudden, it disconnects, and I'm like, oh, man, it's walking out the door, and it's got my wallet in, it's got cash in it, credit cards. I'm freaking out. I go to the front. It connects again, and I'm listening to the radio, and I'm trying to talk to people, and the radio's blaring. I'm like, don't interrupt me because the radio's blaring, and I need to do it to figure out where my phone is. I look around, and I got people helping me look around. I run into people that I know, and everybody's looking around for my phone. What's it look like? It's a black. It looks like a purse. It's over there. Somebody had taken it up to the customer service, and it was connecting from like 60 or 80 feet away.
Wow.
My earbuds. So, boy, I wish they didn't connect that far away.
Doesn't your watch have a Find My Phone thing? Can you hit it?
It does, but you know, like I was in a busy store, so it was like it was pinging. Plus, it's in my wallet, and it was 80 feet away, 60 feet away, so I couldn't hear it. So. Boy, that was it's probably the one and only time I've actually lost my phone where I couldn't find it. And somebody, nice person, had delivered it up there, but I didn't know it because my earbuds and my watch were connecting so far away with Bluetooth. Darn it, technology.
I'm just picturing this this technological version of Marco Polo.
I know, it's exactly what it was. That's the perfect metaphor. That's exactly what it was.
And so there is a feature in your watch to get to your phone. Like you're saying, a ping.
Yeah. Yeah. You just swipe up and hit the little button. My wife uses it, I don't know, 32 times a day. So you just swipe up, hit ping, and it's just like a single ping, just like Hunt for Red October, goes to your phone, and you kind of zero in on that, and you find it. That's it.
Wow.
Pretty easy.
Okay.
I assume they do that on Android. If they don't, then
they do.
Why have a watch?
Right.
John, we were passed the other day coming back from Pier by a vehicle, and the person driving said, "What is that?" And I sort of Googled the logo on the trunk, and it was a Tesla. Out in the middle of South Dakota. So it must have had some pretty good range, one. The other thing you mentioned, there was a test this week, and you wanted to bring that up on the show. I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about that, the Hyperloop test. How'd that go?
Yeah, so Elon Musk and Tesla, I don't even know if Hyperloop, I think, is actually considered another one of his mini companies. But yeah, he is trying to, his vision is this almost ultra-fast electric train in a way called the Hyperloop. which she says can get you, you know, from LA to San Francisco in 30 minutes, or DC to New York in 30 minutes, something like that. I don't exactly remember the times, but it's actually being tested. Obviously, no people. What did they say? They were able to get up to 220 miles per hour in the recent test. And so it's like this vacuum tunnel that would be under the ground, and it would just, you know, like just a ball zooming through a tunnel, essentially. So that's a long ways to go, but he is pretty committed to finding inefficiencies or problems in our world and trying to solve them, at no matter what the crazy idea may be. So something interesting just to kind of keep tabs of. It's definitely very future, but at the same time, sometimes the future is slowly becoming reality.
Is that the reason that he came? Is that the big bore machine that he's got? Is that what creates the tunnel?
Yeah, and so, you know, what makes him a great entrepreneur is he's, like, able to combine these ideas, right? So he has Tesla, which is a, you know, electric car company, and then he has Solar City, which creates solar panels and energy, and then he's able to pair these ideas together. So he said, I'm going to create a company called The Boring Company, which obviously is funny and a great pun, but yeah, they're starting to bore into the ground and make these tunnels. And they're testing it, so we'll see what happens.
Usually what happens when I'm boring in my neighborhood is I cut my cable line, mm-hmm. or worse, and so I don't like to do that. But that sounds interesting.
And that's the point. I know there's currently, I think most of the cars top out about 250 miles per charge, but there is a station currently, I think, in Rapid, and there is one coming to Sioux Falls now, too.
Yeah, there's one in Worthington, just over the state line, and there's actually three West River.
There's Mitchell too.
Okay. I'm not sure about Mitchell,
I think it's
but
Myrtle.
Yeah, there's one in the middle of the state, and then there's three West River, and there's a lot of Teslas in Sioux Falls. So I mean,
yeah, Sioux Falls has quite a few.
Yeah, so I mean, they're not rare. I know that I've seen a Tesla X in Sioux Falls. If you're out there and you're driving it, you should let us know so we can.
You should let us borrow it for a week. Just to, like,
I wasn't going to go there, but maybe we should get them in and they can tell us about their phone car.
Absolutely. Well, we didn't. We're running out of time. I didn't get a chance. I wrote a very brief blog piece on fonts for the show, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it. It's called Fun with Fonts, of course. It's a little play on Fun with Flags, I think, from Sheldon. But I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. I thought I could get you guys excited about fonts today. I was actually interested in finding out if I could. But it is linked on the Facebook page if you'd like to learn a little bit more. If you've always wondered about fonts, this is a very basic walk through a couple of places to find them and how you install them, said type of a thing. And that's facebook.com/techradio. You'll find that link. Leave me a comment if you like. If you want to tell me what your favorite font is, if you are saying, Kent, I don't have a favorite font, maybe you will after this weekend if you use that link. But some different fun with fonts. And John, that was I was inspired by a social media post from Lemonly about some of your mm-hmm. designer's favorite fonts. So did you get any interesting comments on that?
I think specifically just from designers. I mean, if you if you ask a designer what their favorite font is, sometimes that can be like asking a parent of multiple kids, you know, who's your favorite kid? It can be.
Well, it's going to be a 45-minute discussion, isn't it?
It's, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't ask them their favorite color. But it was fun to see great designers talk about why they like a font. And they all chose a couple, and so yeah, that's a good post. You can check out our Lemonly blog if you're into font.
Absolutely, and I should have probably attributed and linked, and I'll do that after the show today. Absolutely. So guys, thank you so much for your Friday. We'll be back on the air in 2 weeks. I believe that's the 15th of September for more Tech Radio. And that is all the time we have for today's show. I just wanted to mention to folks that we are always there for you at SDPB on our app or at sdpb.org. Just go there and click on listen. Thank you, everybody. Have a safe weekend.